We return now to our top story today, the ongoing violence in Egypt. As we reported earlier, at least 50 people were killed this morning in Cairo. Supporters of ousted President Mohamed Morsi say they were shot in an unprovoked attack by Egyptian soldiers, but the army says the soldiers were provoked. The current crisis marks the second time in 2 years that Egypt's military has ousted a leader and taken over power. Egyptians are deeply conflicted about that. Even in the best of times, they have a love-hate relationship with their military. Writer and journalist Magdi Abdelhadi grew up in Cairo, and he takes this look at the current crisis through the prism of his own childhood memories of the military.
The soundscape of my childhood in Egypt was punctuated with music like this. Military marches and nationalist songs. The army in Nasser's Egypt during the 1950s and 60s was almost everywhere, somewhat like during the past few days in Cairo. Almost anything to do with the military in Egypt is top secret. You walk next to a shabby wall in Cairo that bears a sign, "It is strictly forbidden to take any photos." Of what? I've often wondered. Any top secrets there? I doubt it. From experience, I can tell you what you're most likely to find behind that wall. A few dusty offices full of bored conscripts filling in forms under the watchful gaze of a warrant officer waiting for the shift to be over so that he too can rush home to his wife and children. Although it is regarded as a pillar of stability in Egypt, the military institution isn't that old, yet it seems so fond of its antiquated ways. So names of things and ranks are a mix of English and Ottoman-era Turkish when Egypt was still part of the Ottoman Empire. El Kentin, you know that one, don't you? And Big Bashi, Turkish for major, which was, by the way, the rank of Nasser when he overthrew King Farouk in 1952. It is such a stark contrast to the image it likes to project in carefully choreographed public appearances on state television, especially those videos produced by the army to commemorate nationalist holidays and its real or perceived military victories. But there's no hiding that as a child, I really loved the army. So did almost everyone during the Nasser era. And if you asked any young boy back then, "What would you like to do when you grow up?" "Army officer," came the answer straight away. I still can recite many of these Nasser-era nationalist songs. I remember more of them than any of the poems I had to learn off by heart at school, or even verses from the Quran. This one, for example, is one of my favourites. Da'it al-amal, time for the revolutionary work. I believe it was the beautiful lyrics and the music which created the legend of Nasser. Far more so than anything he did. Frankly, as a political leader, I think he was a disaster. My love affair with the army came to a painful and abrupt end after it was routed by Israel in 1967, which has become known as the Six-Day War. It was almost a personal trauma, as if I suddenly lost my father or he has dumped me on the street. But I still love the music of that era. Many of those songs are still played out today in Tahrir Square, and they sound as if they were composed for the revolution. You know why? Because they were such a genuine artistic expression of a nationalist dream of a modern, free and strong Egypt. The dream that has propelled the dramatic events of the past 2 years and which has once again propelled the army to the fore of the scene.
Egyptian writer and journalist Magdi Abdelhadi. His essay was first aired on the BBC World Service program, The Fifth Floor.